DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Good morning.
Good morning, Monsignor. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you. Do you know, every Sunday, what's on my mind is the resurrection. Mm. We are looking at death, I believe, in so totally and completely in an unchristian way. I had memories of my family when death would occur, completely confused me. As a child growing up, I know my parents taught me that there was a heaven. And we used to have, in our home, we would wake the body. Some of the most grieving experiences is when one of our relatives would die. I remember with the death of my grandmother, there was so much weeping. And I remember, especially with the death, which was very sudden, of my Uncle Bill. And I remember at the cemetery, like, wailing. And my Aunt Helen, his wife, was just so grief-stricken. I said to the priest who had the funeral, I said, "Father, this is so pagan." And I remember it caused a stir. I was a very outspoken seminarian at the time. And then I said a few words at the gravesite. I said, "We are going to see this man again. This is not the end. This is just the beginning for him of eternal life." And so I remember that being, well, not only shocked, but kind of built up into a kind of a confusion and maybe a bit of anger. There's this beautiful appearance of Jesus. There's a scene that I love. Jesus died, and we who are followers and disciples of Jesus know that he is the first and only person ever to rise from the dead. All the children of Adam and Eve, every member of the human race, black, white, oriental, red, brown, we are all going to die. I'd like to take this scene. It's the 20th chapter of John, and it's the 24th verse. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with apostles when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, although the doors were closed and locked, and stood in their midst. And he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and bring your hand, and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Many people tell me that at the at the Eucharist, when the consecration takes place, that's their prayer, the prayer of Thomas, to express their faith, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. I believe, and that's my creedal response, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And the scriptures and the teaching of our faith tells us that he was the first and only one at that time that ever rose from the dead. While the teaching of our faith, as we hear it and from the scriptures, in the 15th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a human being, that's Adam, the resurrection of the dead came also through a human being, Jesus. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. We believe not only in the resurrection of the dead, that each of us who has been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. From the time we were baptized, we died to that old self. The person who was going to die and remain dead is now going to live in him, in this world, and in the world to come. And so when I exercise and live my faith this Sunday morning, the Sunday is always like a resurrection day. And when I woke up this morning, my brothers and sisters, we are encountering the living Jesus, not only in the Eucharist, but in ourselves. He is alive in me and in you. And so if I die, supposing we die today, I have no fear of death because I have this eternal life. That Paul, as he teaches this, that for just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life. But each one in proper order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end when he hands over his kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus has conquered sin. He has conquered Satan, and he has conquered death. When I go to Mass this morning, it is the risen Lord that we greet. I think we must publicize and proclaim that Jesus suffered, Jesus died, but Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. He is alive, and he sits at the right hand of his Father. He is reigning in glory. When Jesus suffered and died, that body that Thomas touched, and when he entered into glory in the triumph of holiness in the heavens, what a magnificent and glorious entrance that was. When I was praying this morning, the magnificent glory, the glory of God, and what all of the saints in all the ages have been looking forward to. We who live in this 21st century, when someone dies, people are most like denying death. If we over-exaggerate it by weeping and carrying on, today we almost ignore it. And we use such euphemisms as, he passed away, or we lost this member of our family. My family, my mother, my father, my sister, my uncles, my aunts are in glory. They're the largest members. I'm 85 years old. The members of my family that I remember most, and all of you who are about my age, those who are there in glory waiting for you. We were made for resurrection. We were made for eternal life. Eternity, when Jesus entered into heaven, into glory, he brought with him all of those who had died before him. All of the prophets, all of those who ages before the gates of heaven were closed. No human could enter into glory. Jesus, like us, with that body, with those hands that Thomas touched, with that side that was pierced, he is now in glory. A human being has entered, and with him, now all of the people of all of the ages, he was the first one. They were all awaiting. And Jesus enters, and in went all of humanity with Christ, united with him. He opened heaven now. It had been closed. Jesus lives, and all of those who had died and been buried, when he even died on the cross, there was the disruption of the graves. Heaven was now going to be opened. Finally, all of those who had been buried all over the world, not just in Jerusalem, but all of mankind in every age, in every time, all the trumpets were sounding and the blares came from all eternity and for all eternity. That's my mother and my father and my sister and all my loved ones and all of those that have died. Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection is the truth of our faith. He is alive. That Lord who is ours. This morning, you and I are going to greet the risen Lord. Do you see him? Do you taste him? Do you smell him? Do you feel him? Do you hear him? When he speaks the gospel, that's his voice. Did you ever see what the priest did with the book of the gospel? He kisses it. That's the spoken words that the lips of Jesus has just spoken to us. God is alive through, in, and with Jesus Christ. And I, with him, have the promise of eternal life. When I, today, receive communion and am in union with him, I will suffer with him yet because I'm still here in this world. I will die with him. I have not yet died. I'm going to be 85. I have suffered many things, and I will die. And when I close my eyes in death, I'm going to open them, and this truth of the risen Lord is the one I will join. That's the one my mother saw when she died on that January 21st day, 1987. When she closed her eyes and I went to her funeral, she is now in heaven. Her body we buried in California. When my father died on September the 11th, 1996, that was the day that his eyes closed and he opened them and there was Jesus. The Lord that he believed in is there to greet him. My sister, when she died on June the 29th, 1955, her body is down in the Wilkesbury grave, where I hopefully, peacefully will be buried next to her. These bodies that we have, many of the times at a funeral with the body there, I would take some dirt and say, death to death and ashes to ashes. We came forth from the earth and we returned to the earth. That's who we are. This body of ours is going to be raised along with our souls. My soul will have immediate judgment when I die. Brothers and sisters, when we are in grace, and please God you are, if you're not, you have to ask our Lord, bring me to your holy grace. You are with me. You are in me. By baptism, I have access to you. You who are within me. are alive, Jesus, and I can remain alive. I want to become reconciled to you, and I can do that by the sacrament of reconciliation, asking forgiveness of my sins. There's no sin which he can't forgive. To be prepared, all of life is a preparation for eternal life. From the moment that you were brought into this world, your baptism, your birth, your birth to eternal life, your confirmation, your communions, you're going to first grade, you're going to high school, all of this is just preparation. When we think of that tragedy, terrible tragedy, that took place in Newton, Connecticut, the tragedy of children, little ones, and we saw that. Children can die very unexpectedly. In the Boston Marathon, a child died. Children, are they prepared for eternal life? The last chapter is life. The last chapter is not death. Life is not ended with death. Life is ended with resurrection. The story today, because of Jesus, is eternal life. We were made to live forever and ever. Notice the prayers that we have when we go to Mass. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. We are, because of Jesus, a forever people. We were made by God for eternal life. Because of Jesus, we have access to eternal life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way to eternal life. Through him and with him and in him, all glory to the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. My heart is yours, Jesus says, forever and ever. I have loved you. I have died for you, that you may live forever. All of us Christians are full of joy. We are a people who know that life in the end is joy and everlasting life. Not suffering and death, but joy. Many of us have had many tragedies in our life. And as I go back to the many grave sites I've been to, the many bodies I've seen mangled in death or in tragedy, but all of these will end in glory. God will be true. Yes.
Monsignor, is there a danger in believing that we're all going to heaven? Because there is the possibility that some of us won't.
I think many people really believe that I'm going to hell. You know, the structures of self-condemnation, the structures that I see mostly around human hearts is self-condemnation. If you really look into what you really believe today in your heart, whether you're person who's been practicing your faith or not, if especially those who are practicing their faith. You know, I've met so many priests, so many religious, I say, if you were to meet Jesus right now, what would be your reaction and response? So many of them would be afraid. And why not joy? I am going to meet my best friend. The love that he has for me and you, the longing that I have. Many of us approach death with fear. John talks about that. If you're still afraid to die, that's because you're afraid of punishment. If you're listening and you have this presumption that you're going to be saved and go to heaven. Nothing on your own can take you there. There's nothing. What is there in you that says that you can live forever? Nothing. There's no experience you've ever had that tells you that I can live forever. At 85, I'm just amazed. Will I live another day? All the people that I was ordained priest with are dead, and I've outlived most of my family in my years. Now, what am I waiting for? A fearful encounter with death? Death, make friends with death. That is to welcome it when it comes. Some of you who may be listening are dying, and you do have a disease that your heart is just wearing out, your body is wearing down, the cancer is taking over, your kidney is shutting down, and you're conscious, and you are now awaiting your last breath. He is aware of you, your fear, your pain, all the kinds of things that are coming. What have I done? Oh my God, my sinfulness. And God is saying, you are my child. I love you. To experience that love in your heart as he is approaching you. His hand is not a shadow of death reaching out to grasp you. It's the arms of a lover that wants to embrace you. He made you out of love. As you return to him, it's love. Love was the beginning of your life. That's why he created you. He made you so that you could live with him forever in love. When you think of heaven as the risen Lord being there, everyone in heaven loves God. That's what heaven is, to love God, not to be afraid of God, but to look at God. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. The entrance into glory is coming home, being at rest in the house of your Father, who from the beginning of your moment of conception joyed in your being, he made you. As you grew and as you came to be, all of the years that he was longing and waiting for you. And there are so many in heaven with him who love you too. Home is heaven. Heaven is home. If you had conflict in your family here on earth, there's no family here on earth that can any way you can imagine the harmony, the tranquility, the peace, the love, because everybody, fathers and mothers aren't fighting in heaven because they wouldn't be there if they had this anger, disposition toward one another. They're excluded. If you still have anger in your heart, you're not going to be able to enter into this glory. What is the glory of heaven? You are loved with an infinite love. You receive that infinite love and you return it first to God, who loves you with an infinite love, and then to each person. You can't be there and not love one another. The tranquility, the harmony, the peace, and the joy. Love is heaven. You cannot be there without it. And so if you're still afraid, if you're still anxious and worried about the punishment you may receive, this is a marvelous time to prepare. St. Augustine had written on his tombstone this marvelous saying, and those who stand and look at it, they would read, "Where you are, I was." And so from the grave, he looks at you and me and says, "Where you are, I was. Where I am, you will be. Somebody is going to come to your grave one day. Prepare for your eternal destiny. There's nothing more important than that encounter when you meet God in death. And so, Chris, to answer your question, the most important encounter and meeting of our lives will be, as St. Francis used to call, Sister Death. He was so in love with death. Come, Sister Death. He had made friends with death. And when death came to Francis, he had that joyful and peaceful heart to greet it.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
I just love that phrase of Jesus, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, he shall live forever, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up on the last day. Every Sunday, and this Sunday morning, is a small resurrection. Let your minds today be in heaven. Let this day be a day that you will think about eternal glory. Think about the saints. Think about the angels. Think about the glory of God that has been prepared for you. Have a happy and beautiful Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor. You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.